Welcome to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. As a major gun battle appears to be developing outside the Capitol building in Washington, D.C. Details are still sketchy, but one person at least has been shot. Washington, D.C. is in lockdown. This on top of the political logjam in which the United States federal government is already enveloped. The government of the United States has effectively ceased to function. The president cannot have his way. The Republican-controlled Senate has refused to pass his budget. It is a major political, constitutional, and now security crisis in the United States of America. We'll be keeping you updated throughout Comment this evening as that story develops. As develop, it certainly seems certain to do. This is the big conversation. This is the great debate. But it can only be a debate if you join in. That's why, above all, I need your telephone calls. 44208-601-4555. That's the number to call. You call us, we'll call you back, establish a clear line. And remember, if you get on the television with me, the volume on your television has to be down at zero, or I'll have to press swiftly on. You can also SMS the show on 4478-00-8066, or you can email me at comment@presstv.co.uk. And a big welcome, as always nowadays, for listeners from Colourful Radio, a London-based station which is now spreading out throughout the land. Very colourful people, wonderful radio station, and its listeners are very welcome. But they should know that the details I've just given, the phone numbers, etc., are for this show only. As I said, we'll be talking about the crisis on Capitol Hill. Not just the crisis that we already knew about, the lockdown, fiscal lockdown of United States government's activity, with hundreds of thousands of state employees being laid off, services cancelled because the president's program will not pass, because the right-wing Republican control on Capitol Hill will not allow it to pass. But now, this major security problem, which we are struggling to get hold of finer details, but which has certainly so far resulted in casualties, in gunfire, a gun attack, it would appear, on Capitol Hill. We're talking, of course, about the US in another context also. The thaw which appears to be underway in relations between the US and Iran. This follows the wonderful tour de horizon, tour de force of President Rouhani of Iran at the United Nations in New York that we talked about last week, which has made it simply impossible for the US to continue its posture of belligerence against the Islamic Republic, not without looking ridiculous. After all, the Iranian president has said, with the authority of the supreme leader of the Islamic Republic, Ayatollah Khamenei, that Iran not only has no intention of ever building a nuclear weapon, it is religiously precluded from doing so as a result of fatwa going back all the way to the founder of the Islamic Republic himself, Ayatollah Khomeini. Fatwas which have been regularly updated and restated by today's supreme leader. So if there's no intention on the part of Iran to build nuclear weapons, what conceivable reason could there be to continue to sanction and bully and threaten Iran? Most of the world says no reason, no good reason at least. But Netanyahu, the gang leader of what they call Israel, has done everything he could to try and stop this thaw from developing further. He wants the world to go to war with Iran, but the world is not taking it. And neither is the United States, which has snubbed, rebuffed Netanyahu's argument that the Iranian diplomatic offensive is mere window dressing. So what do you think? is the future of US-Iranian relations. Will this track that we now appear to be on solve the nuclear standoff, remove the sanctions, and return Iran to its full glory? Already, we are seeing in Western newspapers articles we wouldn't have seen even 4 weeks ago about how the sanctions are damaging the ordinary people of Iran, how the world's oil markets desperately need Iranian supplies to be up at tip-top levels, and so on. It seems to me, as a seasoned observer of this kind of thing, that we are being prepared for a major U-turn, a major reversal in Western policy towards Iran. I can tell you that the Capitol Hill incident that I've just been describing has developed still further. There are now several injured people in the shooting outside the Capitol building, and one of them is a police officer. I don't know yet whether he has survived that attack. And another of the casualties is a Senate aide. No news as yet of any senators themselves being shot, still less killed. But feelings are running very high in the United States. And as we know from hundreds of recent examples, it's not difficult for a madman to get his hands on the most powerful automatic weapons in the United States and shoot anyone with them. A senator has already been subject to an attempted assassination attempt just a couple of years ago, and she has barely recovered and her life was barely saved. And of course, schools, colleges, universities are regularly the site of massacres caused by people with easy access to unlimited ammunition and the most powerful weapons that it's possible to buy. So we're talking about that subject. Police have asked people in DC to stay in the buildings and lock all the doors and windows. So the people of the United States are transfixed, not by problems in Iran, not by problems in Syria, but by problems in their own capital city, in their own capital building. And we'll be talking about the decision of the Gambia, the African state which has just broken its relations with the British Commonwealth. The ruler of Gambia has said that Gambia, under his rule, will never be a part of a neo-colonial institution, or indeed any colonial institution. This follows a lead from President Robert Mugabe of Zimbabwe, which has already left the Commonwealth. So we're asking the question, what is the British Commonwealth? Formerly known, of course, as the British Empire. Does it do any good? Is it a colonial institution which is ruled effectively by Britain, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, the so-called White Commonwealth? Is Gambia right to leave the Commonwealth? Is there any point in being in it? These are the subjects. These opinions that I have just expressed are entirely my own opinions. They're not necessarily the opinions of anyone else. And they're certainly not opinions which anyone has hired me to have. They represent my sincere and honest beliefs, right or wrong. And if you have different beliefs on these subjects, then your opinion is even more welcome and your call will be prioritized. So the numbers are up there on the screen, as is the email address and the SMS. Let me run through them one more time. The phone number is 442086014555. The SMS number is 447800806. Or you can email me at comment@presstv. Now, colorful radio listeners, remember, these are numbers and email addresses just for this show. So, several injured, one police officer, one Senate aide included. We don't know how far, how bad this incident is going to be, but we do know that the police have asked people in Washington, D.C. to stay inside their building and lock all their doors and windows. I don't know if we're on the verge of another 9/11 type attack We don't know if the terrorist involved here is one of the Al-Qaeda gang now being armed and financed by Western countries and their Persian Gulf Arab satrapies, or whether it's a domestic act of terrorism, like many that we have seen before in Oklahoma and elsewhere. We don't know if it's criminal or if it's political, but it's certainly shaping up to be the dominating news story of the evening. That plus US-Iranian relations and the desperate attempts, increasingly desperate attempts by Netanyahu to spoil the party, to make sure that there is no thaw of any meaningful sense between the United States and Iran. As you know, there was a telephone conversation between the Iranian President Rouhani and President Obama whilst President Rouhani was still in the United States. There has now been a meeting between Secretary of State John Kerry and the Iranian Foreign Minister, and there's all sorts of talk in the media about improvements in the pipeline in relations. We're talking also about the Gambia and its breach with the British Commonwealth. Let's take the first caller. It's Rafiq in Leicester. He wants to talk about the US and Iran. Rafiq, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Go ahead, sir.
George, give me some minutes, please, if you don't mind.
Well, there's a lot of callers, Rafiq, so I can't promise that. Go on.
Okay. I'm talking about the Israelis. I mean, the way he said in the United Nations, with or without of the part of the world support. I mean, why are we kidding ourselves? Israel is America. Without American support, Israel would not be, you know, it couldn't sustain anything. But Israel is America because anything Israel does, it's no problems. Daddy will save you. But when it comes to, example, Iran, Syria, I mean, look at the double standards. We're seeing a lot of people getting killed in Syria as we talk, but nobody's mentioning about it. When then somebody let the chemical bomb went off, oh, yeah, we must bomb it, we must kill it. But what about those people he's supporting to kill other innocent people? What about that? Nobody's talking about bombing America. Nobody's talking about anything.
No, we don't want anybody to bomb America. We don't want anybody being we don't want anybody being bombed by America either. And so far, at least, we've stopped them doing that in Syria. But you're absolutely right, Rafiq. Israel is America in that sense, that Israel would not exist if it were not for the financial, military, political, and diplomatic support of the United States of America. So it's inconceivable that any major decision could be made by any Israeli premier if the United States government was wholly against it. But in the short term, it is possible for the Israeli dog to break free from its owner. And a dog which breaks free can, of course, do serious damage before its owner gets back in control of it. So we have to be anxious about Israeli renegade, rogue, terrorist state behavior. We have to be. But we also must know that if the United States has embarked on a change of course vis-a-vis Iran, Israel will not be able in the end to stop it. And my last point, Rafiq, would be this, that just because something always happened before doesn't mean that it will always happen in the future. That would be far too formulaic and fatalistic an approach to international relations. Let's go to the Gambia. Talk to Lamine, who wants to talk about the Gambia. Lamine, welcome to the show.
Yes, welcome. Thank you.
You're welcome. What do you think of your country's decision to leave the British Commonwealth?
Yes, I'm Lamine Kujabi. I'm calling from the Gambia.
Yeah.
Yes, the Gambia, under the leadership of our able president, Dr. Alhaji Yahya AJJ Jammeh, will not accept to be recolonized anymore. We do not see any reason for being a member of the British Commonwealth. Our country is a sovereign country with its own constitution that all Gambians and non-Gambians in the Gambia must abide by. The Gambia is one of the most peaceful countries in Africa. This is because we are living by our traditions and cultures. If somebody else wants us to bring his tradition, which is detrimental to our lives and peace, we will not accept that.
And what was it, Lamine, what was it that the Commonwealth was threatening to do that made the president take this decision?
Because the Commonwealth is supporting homosexuality and the Gambia is against, that is against our tradition.
But the Commonwealth doesn't have anything to do with homosexuality. The decisions of every country in the Commonwealth are sovereign. South Africa is a member of the Commonwealth, and the British government doesn't tell the South African government what to do. India is a member of the Commonwealth, and the British government doesn't tell India what to do.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah, but in the Gambia, it's different.
In what way?
In the Gambia, it's different. Because they feel that we are a poor country, so that is why they are powerful. They want to impose what they want. But you know that what the West is doing in the world. They impose. They want the whole world to do what they want. And this is wrong. We are all a nation. We are independent. We are as independent as even Britain and even USA. So why is it that they ask us to do what they want? Well, we are a free country. We are independent.
Yes, but other people have a right to a point of view if any country is behaving in a way towards its minorities and its population in a way that offends against universal principles of human rights. No,
that is not a human right. Even human right is not like that. Human right is about how the people live in peace. Mm-hmm. But not the way how they think we should live. We should live in the way we think, not the way they live.
But can I just go back to a point I made earlier? South Africa, your relatively near neighbor, is an independent, sovereign country. But it can stay in the Commonwealth. What's the difference between you and South Africa?
South Africa is different from the Gambia. South Africa is more developed than the Gambia. The Gambia depends on only taxes to pay its workers. South Africa has natural resources. So there are other things that if even the British want to impose on it, they cannot accept because they have what they want. So this is what the British want to think that we may accept if they impose all these things on us. We have faith. And we feel that we are an independent country. We have been independent from the British since 18 February 1965. That is okay. So why is it that they are following us to do what they want?
Okay. Well, look, Lamine, thanks for that call from the front line, as it were, kicking us off on that part of our discussion about Gambia leaving the Commonwealth following the example of Zimbabwe's president, Robert Mugabe. We want to hear from people in Africa and elsewhere. Is this a matter of regret? Is the Commonwealth of any importance? I personally don't think it's of any importance at all. I can't imagine that it has the power to impose anything on anybody. And if it does, it's not because it's the Commonwealth. It's because it is led, the Commonwealth is led by imperialist countries like Britain and like Australia and New Zealand, who are three of the big five who are spying and subverting the world, according to Edward Snowden's revelations that we've dealt with here before. Now, on your screens, you can see live footage, I'm sure, of the situation on Capitol Hill. We're keeping abreast of that. Several people have been injured, one police officer, one Senate aide, and the shooting followed a car chase. So we don't yet know how many people are involved, how many shooters there are, how many people are down. But it is symptomatic of an existential crisis in the United States. The government has effectively closed down. Hundreds of thousands of state employees are in the process of being sent home from their jobs, laid off, losing their wages and their salaries. The services they provide have simply shut down, all because of a constitutional logjam between the president and the Congress. The Republicans, of course, have a stranglehold on the purse strings of the president, and the president is looking increasingly weak at home. But abroad, he seems to have finally taken a decision to turn around, turn away from the policy of confrontation, first with Syria and more overarchingly with the Islamic Republic of Iran. So what's to become of President Obama? Is he going to survive this crisis? What's the answer to it? That shooting, by the way, took place at 2 p.m. local time. And what about Israel trying to spoil any possibility of a rapprochement between Iran and the United States? Are you in favor of a rapprochement between Iran and the United States? There are some people in Iran who were not happy with the performance of the president of Iran in New York. There are some people in Iran and elsewhere who prefer this confrontation in the world. I'm not one of them, and neither, I think, are the majority of people in Iran. Certainly not the supreme leadership of Iran, which appears to be wholly behind the new president. Aden is still in Cyprus. He wants to talk about what's happening in Washington, D.C. Aden, welcome back.
Hi, Joe. Thanks for having me. I think the business cycle can be here at it shows very well what someone was putting. Sorry, why?
Aiden, we're going to have to get back to you because it's an extremely bad line. Aiden used to be in London. He's in Cyprus nowadays. I don't know if he's on holiday or working there, but we'll try to get back to him. Now, let's go next to the United States, to New Jersey, to talk to a Sheikh, Sheikh Rafael in New Jersey. Welcome, Sheikh.
And thank you for taking my call. And I just want to talk about the relation between Iran and United States.
Yes.
And as well Israel, how the country is working right now. Because the Iran is the regional power and they have many influence in that, Middle East. On the other hand, Israel also is trying to get regional power, try to control their neighborhood country. As well, and therefore, and Israel have the immunity from the United States because if they want to do anything, they can get support from the United States. There is no doubt at all. Mm. My question is that Israel is exceptionalism, is exception from the international law and norm.
Indeed, the United States is upset that Russia has questioned its exceptionalism. And I'm certainly with Russia on that one. But the real exceptional country in the world has to be Israel, because Israel appears, up till now at least, to be entirely outwith all international law. It is not only not punished for the crimes against international law and breaches of United Nations Security Council decisions, it is rewarded despite the breaches of international law and the refusal to countenance obeying the decisions of the United Nations Security Council. That's exceptionalism, all right. I'll talk after the break, God willing, further about the new state of affairs that appears to be forming under our eyes between the United States and Iran. And stay tuned to Press TV for the latest news from Washington, D.C. This is Comment with George Galloway on Press TV. Back shortly. Thank you. Welcome back to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. Lockdown on Capitol Hill, not just fiscal and political lockdown, but now a security situation developing as we speak, which may or may not turn out to have been politically motivated. Several people have been shot and the Capitol is locked down. And the police are telling people to stay inside their buildings and keep the doors and windows locked. There have been, of course, a wave of shootings, often with no political import in the United States. Just because people in the United States are able to get their hands on automatic weapons with the kind of ease that you or I would have buying a camera, perhaps even less trouble. 2 weeks ago, of course, there was a devastating shooting at a Navy yard in Washington, and now this. President Obama doesn't have his troubles to seek. The Republican control of Congress has effectively sought to blackmail him into dropping his health care reforms, Obamacare, as it's known in the United States. He has refused, and therefore the Congress has refused to allow him to continue to administer the government. So hundreds of thousands of federal employees have already been sent home. Millions of others face the same fate in the next days and weeks. It is a political standoff, and now we have a security standoff between the police and an unknown number of shooters, one of whom appears to be a woman and who has been apprehended. So what do you think is going on in Capitol Hill? What do you think of the state of the Obama presidency now? I certainly support Obama's apparent decision to try and bring about an end to the confrontation between the US and Iran, following the tremendous performance, in my view, of the Iranian president in the United States for the recent meeting of the General Assembly of the United Nations. Israel is very angry indeed about Obama appearing to be ready to make a U-turn on policy towards Iran and is trying to mobilize its vast political support in Washington and in the United States political system to try and sabotage the apparent decision that has been made on both sides to, if not kiss and make up, then at least to lower their guns away from Iran. The United States has been regularly threatening Iran with attack. The United States agent, the so-called State of Israel, regularly, daily, actually, including this day, has threatened to attack Iran. I want to avoid that attack. I want to bring about an end to the sanctions imposed on the Islamic Republic for absolutely no good reason. Where do you stand on that question? And on the Gambia, which has decided and announced today that it will no longer be a part of the Commonwealth, formerly known as the British Empire. This follows President Mugabe of Zimbabwe's decision to pull out of the Commonwealth. So we're asking, is the Commonwealth beginning to rattle down? And if it is it not before time? Mark is on the line from Scotland, Glasgow to be precise. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hi, Mr. Galloway.
Welcome. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I would like to talk about the Iran situation with America.
Yes.
Actually, today, me and my friends on Twitter have had quite a few conversations in relation to it. One of the things that I found astonishing when I read this today for the first time was Seymour Hersh's 2007 article, The Annals of National Security.
Yep.
And in that, he discusses how the MEK were brought over to, where was it? I'm trying to think from my memory, maybe Texas or Nevada, and basically trained to go back to Iran.
Yes.
To cause terrorism.
They are American-sponsored terrorists.
Yes.
No doubt about that. And in fact, even though they have from time to time been listed in the United States and in Britain and in the European Union as a terrorist organization, even while they were listed, they were in fact receiving covert support from the United States and other countries. But now that they are largely unlisted, even though their terrorist methodology has not changed, they are openly being financed, armed, and assisted in various ways by Western countries. And yeah. Seymour Hersh, who's an old friend of mine, was the man who, 6 years ago now, brought this to our attention. But the fact that it's now beginning to be concentrated upon, Mark, has got to be a good thing.
I agree. Well, for instance, I see it as a sort of seditious practice. And it's basically the US, Israel, and Saudi Arabia that want to create a state in which Iran, Syria, Iraq, basically are committing themselves. And at the end of the day, we'll see the greater Israel state built up within the Middle East. And
well, they certainly want to break up the Middle East. There's no doubt about that. They want to break up the 23 so-called nation states that Sykes and Picot, the imperialist draftsmen from France and Britain in the early part of the 20th century, drew up. And they want, instead of 23 countries in the Arab world, to have hundreds of tiny emirates in the Arab world, like Libya, for example. That's another great success story. Libya has been bombed and has been subject to the old regime change trick. And what do we have in its place? We have not one Libya, not even three Libyas, which the pessimists, they thought they were pessimists, expected, but dozens of Libyas, where no writ runs from the capital city of Tripoli or even Benghazi, which was the headquarters of the Libyan revolution. And I see the Russians have just evacuated their embassy in Tripoli after a violent terrorist attack upon it. This, of course, on top of the attack on the American embassy by Al-Qaeda-linked forces, which caused the murder of the American ambassador. That's the blueprint that they appear to have for all the Arab countries. And you're right, in Iran, they would like to break up Iran if they could, but they can't. So don't fret, Mark, in Glasgow.
Just before you go, Mr. Galloway, can I just say, because you raised a very pertinent point there in relation to Libya and Seymour Hersh.
Yeah.
Now, from what I understand, within the context of Libya, you basically had gun running going into Syria via Libya.
Yep.
On top of that fact, you had a war crime committed by NATO in 2011, April.
Yep.
And within days, I think it was 2 days later, after killing Gaddafi's grandchildren, the mysterious Osama bin Laden died in Afghanistan. No, sorry, died in Pakistan. And who was it? It just came out in the past few days and said that it's complete and utter rubbish. Seymour Hersh.
In fact, bin Laden was killed, according to the American version, in 2010. In other words, before the attack on Libya. Nonetheless, the facts are that Gaddafi's family was murdered. Gaddafi himself was murdered in the most atrocious conditions. And they have achieved, I would have thought, the hitherto imagined unachievable, to make Libya worse even than it was under the rule of Gaddafi. Mark in Glasgow, thanks for the call. Lever is in Northwich in England, and we need to hear him. Lever, welcome to the show. Go on, Lever.
Hi, George. Always a pleasure.
And
I want to speak about the situation between Iran and America, the new, hopefully forthcoming relationship between them.
Yeah.
And obviously the Israeli situation where basically they're trying to put the boot in.
Yeah.
But I do believe for a long time now that Iran has taken and has got the moral high ground. And eventually, I think people will see, I think, deep down the world does know really what's going on, but there's forces at work, there's money at work, why other countries have to do certain things. But the weird thing is also, is this new economic situation, whirlwind, is hitting the West. Now, as everyone knows, the sanctions which have been, well, basically illegal sanctions which have been put upon Iran. But in a twisted way, it's actually done them a favour because they've had to stand on their own. They're using their own currency within their own country, plus they do trade with I think the P5 or something, I think what they call them, unaligned countries. But at the end of the day, this economic situation, if it does arise, this big crash, will not hit Iran. And Iran could actually emerge as a very, very powerful, great country, which it is, but a very powerful country.
Okay, Lever, thanks for that. Need to press on because I've got so many people on the line. One of them's in Malta. Mario. Mario in Malta, welcome. Mario. Did we lose that call? What a pity. I wanted to talk to him.
Hello.
Yes, Mario.
Hello,
welcome to the show. Go ahead.
Welcome, George. Good evening, George.
Good evening to you, sir.
I'm going to say the same thing again, you know, about Palestine.
Yeah.
Palestine, why doesn't Europe do something about these people? Why? 60 years they've been like these people. Why? Even America. I was proud about this guy in America, you know, the president. He should stop the war. Why? They changed the fortune to stop the war. Why? Killing people, innocent people, even in Syria. Why? Because Israel doesn't trust nobody around them. She's got 100 nuclear weapons, that Israel.
Well over 200, Mario. And that was 20 years ago.
Yeah, what they
20 years ago.
What kind of God? No, George, can I speak a bit? What kind of God they got? I don't know what kind of God they got, Israel. What? Wait. Moses. If it was Moses, they...
Well, we don't need to go back to Moses. We can go back to Mordechai Vanunu, the brave Jewish whistleblower who told us 20 years ago, more than 20 years ago, 25 years ago, he served 20 years in prison for it, who told us that then Israel was in possession of 220 nuclear weapons, as well, of course, as a mountain of biological and chemical weapons. But no one has ever demanded the inspection of the sites where Israel has these weapons of mass destruction. And no one has ever contemplated, no one in power anyway, bringing sanctions to bear, still less threatening with invasion and destruction, the state that they call Israel. Mario, thanks for the call. Got to press on because Jamshed is in Michigan, in the United States. He wants to talk about what's happening on Capitol Hill. Jamshed, welcome to the show.
Yes, George.
Go ahead, sir.
Go ahead, George.
Yes, you're on the air. Go on. Tell me what you want to see.
I'd like to make a comment about the Iran nuclear technology. I'm proud of them. They stand tall and strong in front of this Zionism. As soon as we know, United States is trying to make a peace with Iran, the Zionism, like a dog barking at the U.S. Congress. Because, as you know, all the U.S. Congress are run by Zionism that's controlling the United States. And one day the people are going to wake up and then keep the Zionism out of this United States because they've been running the United States for the last 200 years or since 1949, the Zionism state created the state of Israel. And I'm proud of you on the stand tall in front of the people that the Zionism...
Well, we're all proud of the stand that Iran has made for its sovereignty and its independence. But it would be a good thing if the United States now began to back down from its policy of confrontation with Iran. Is that how you see it happening? How is that being discussed in the United States?
Well, the people, as you know, George, the people, they are not in the United States very in terms of the policy, very, very uneducated. They don't know even where is Iran or any country in the Middle East is. They consider every country in that area as an Arab. You know, they don't distinguish nothing. And then I'm proud of Iran standing tall in front of you, this Zionism that they try to swallow. The whole Middle East, that's the master plan the Zionism have. Zionism have chemical weapons. Nobody talk about it. And the Zionism give a chemical weapon to the rebel, that's a bunch of terrorists, and then pretend that Assad Syria did. That's all about pretext for war. Zionism, that's the one on the rebel, give him intelligence. Everybody knows about it. But this has to be a stop. And it's the only country in that Middle East that stands tall and strong in front of Zionism is Iran. You got to be proud of it.
Indeed.
That country being pushed by United States, Europe, still stand in the street.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, Jamshed, thanks for the call. I'm pressing on. Manchester in England is where Shawkat is. He wants to talk about the same subject. Shawkat, welcome to the show.
Hi, George. How are you, mate?
By the grace of God, good, sir. Go on.
Okay. George, I'd like to say, since Iran is forthcoming in negotiating over its nuclear issue, can I ask you a question? Don't you think it's high time that the West guarantees a security guarantee to the Iranians from being attacked from daily Israeli threats and its nukes?
Well, of course, though that's not going to happen, I'm just grateful that finally, as a result of Iran standing tall, as Jamshed in Michigan put it, as a result of Iran's insistence on its independence and sovereignty and the integrity of its Islamic system, the United States policy is now on the rocks. And the only way to salvage it is to try and end what has been more than 30 years of enmity. And let's remember why there is enmity between the US and Iran. Iran was ruled by the most brutal tyrant, the so-called Shah of Persia, who was armed and who was backed to the nth degree by the United States. Indeed, was put in power as a result of a coup d'etat organized by the United States and Great Britain. Iran had every right to be angry at the fact that the suffering of the Iranian people under the jackboots of this tyranny had been backed throughout by the United States. But even then, the Iranian people were ready to have normal relations with the United States, but only on the basis that the United States recognized the right of the Iranian people to their Islamic revolution and their political, economic, and social system, and Iran's right to be treated equally between nations. And that right has not been relinquished in any way by Iran. And in so far as there is a rapprochement, it's a rapprochement based on Iran's territorial integrity and its sovereignty. And so I say hallelujah. Shoka in Manchester, thanks for the call. Nchim is in South Africa, wants to talk about the same subject. Welcome, South Africa. Go ahead.
Good evening, George.
Good evening, sir. Go on.
Yes, George, you're speaking to Nchime from South Africa. It's an absolute pleasure, and I'm really honored to speak to you.
The pleasure is mine, Nchime. Thanks very much. Go on.
Okay, thanks. George, I would just like to make a small comment regarding the U.S.-Iran relations, you know, vis-a-vis or versus Israel on the other side.
Yes.
Yeah, I would like to say I'm not sure, George, but I'm not very optimistic about the success that, you know, this will bring. Because, you know, largely because of two reasons. I think there are other reasons as well, but I think mostly because of two reasons. The first one is the fact that, you know, the empire itself, I don't think it's really in the interest of the empire, or the empire does not think it's in its interest to allow countries such as Iran to succeed. Because, you know, Iran since 1979 is pursuing a path of independence, and you know that bullies and empires don't really like such steps.
Well, that's true.
And the second reason,
but the empire is not what it was. It's fading in front of our eyes.
I'm going to get to that just in a second, George. You know, the second reason is the fact that, you know, the hold that the Israelis got over the U.S. You know, so the policy of the U.S. is literally dictated by Israel. We know how much hold it's got on the empire. So that's the second reason. However, having said that, George, I'm not totally ruling it out because, you know, as you are saying correctly, that the empire is no longer what it was. The U.S. is really a falling empire. And perhaps it is coming to realize that, you know what, we cannot proceed like this anymore. We are not as powerful as we used to be, like Putin said earlier this year when he said that, you know what, the Western bloc is not as strong as it used to be. It's really weakening, you know.
Hallelujah.
So maybe they are coming back to their senses.
Hallelujah, brother.
Perhaps they are coming,
Listen, I've got to press on, but it was a real honor talking to you. You're a wise man in Cheam, in South Africa. Let me go to India, because I want to get around the world tonight. And Fatima's on the line on the same subject, but also on the Gambia. Fatima, welcome to the show.
Hello, salam alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, go ahead.
How are you?
By the grace of God, good.
Okay. First, I would like to talk about Iran and American relations. America, all of a sudden, taking a U-turn and trying to befriend Iran. Maybe this is a death trap sort of stuff, because there are not just one incident. There were many countries were befriended by America, and yet America backstabbed them in a very brutal manner.
Mm-hmm.
Like we have Saddam, for instance, and there are other instances as well. And plus Gambia, I think, has taken a very good move. I mean, it's better not to be a part of a clan which is being led by those people who first ruled you brutally. I mean, there are many incidents, like even in India, the British Empire, they did loads of heinous crimes. But yet, somehow, India is part of that, I mean, where they are being played in the hands of Britain. I mean, what is the point of being in the Commonwealth? It's just one big thing, you know, and it's not, it doesn't have much value also.
I'll tell you its main value. I'll tell you its main value, Fatima, is that it provides fat cat hospitality jamborees every year in exotic places for despots and British government officials. And this very year, indeed next month, they're planning to go to Sri Lanka, where human rights abuses are legion, where thousands of people have been massacred by government forces in Sri Lanka, where torture and false imprisonment is everywhere in the state. But it hasn't stopped them booking the best hotels in Colombo so that they can go there and have their annual jamboree. Down with the Commonwealth, I say. I'm glad Gambia and Zimbabwe have both left the Commonwealth. I hope the day comes when India leaves too, because the British Empire can never be a force for good. We need a different world order. It's been marvelous. Thank you.
Hello,
just
comment on your name and location, that's my number. And just make sure the site has television volume set to zero.
Zero. Can you spell your name for me?
Yeah, I know. You'll be directly put through this. Phone number, and then we'll be back.
Can I have your telephone number?
Okay, so I'm going to call it.